Boysai, lessons from the lathe. Parsha? I don't know. Kitetze. Kitetze la milchama. So, as the shirim, we have the great schus. It's been 2 weeks since I was not able to do a live shir. I hate doing the shir by myself. I feel terrible. Especially, like, how do I scream out more of a rabbi, you know, like in front of my family. My kids are like, what's it? Are you okay? You know. But happy to be back. Next week I'll have to do it probably privately again because I'm going to America. But I think that when we do these shurim, so sometimes we spend a lot of time on psukim and speak about the pshat of the pasuk, and a lot of times we do drush. So there's a very famous drush that starts the parsha off. Obviously, this parsha is always in Chodesh Elul. It's always a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and it's interesting to note that both the Chavetz Chaim, which you know certainly goes on the Litvak, and then the Chassidish masters all say the same thing. They say that the pasuk says, "Ki teitzei lemelchama alo yivecha, v'natno Hashem lokecha biyadecha." When we go to war against our enemies, and Hashem will deliver us. So, both the Chavetz Chaim and, as I said, the Hasidic masters explain that the pasuk is not only speaking about actual war; it's speaking about the greatest conflict of our entire lives, and something you need to mature up to realize, and that is the Yetzer, the fight of all fights. And why we are who we are, and we come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah again, many times in the same place we were last year, although you're super lucky guys, right? In that you were so much better compared to what you were 2 years ago. So like you're kind of lucky to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam because you're like, well, I actually did change. People my age have a hard time going in front of Hashem again and say, shoot, I slipped up again. It was that same Yom Kippur that I cried and I said, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again, and I did it again. So the Yetzer Hara is really, we're generally, most people, I don't know you well enough yet, you're almost all new to me, but I don't know you well enough, but I'm sure most of you are not bad people. And the reason why you sin is called, you're sinning L'Te'avon. You have a Yetzer Hara, right? L'Te'avon, right? Most of us do not, you know, walk down the street and see a big statue of Buddha and goes, oh my God, Buddha, oh, I need to bow down to him, right? And most of us even, maybe walking in New York City and we don't see, you know, a Burger King and be like, oh, cheeseburger. Like, no, we don't have that Yetzer. But if we're walking down 42nd Street and 10th Avenue and we see a woman and says, hey, how you doing? That may be a Yetzer. But it's a Yetzer. But we also have a Yetzer Atov. So let's try to delve into this. L'chovas alavavas, one of the greatest Musar Svarim that exists in this world, tells us something that my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, was very, very keen on people learning. The Chovas HaLevavos tells us that if you're a soldier in the army, and this is obviously quite perfect for at least 50% of you, or the other 50% that probably will be convinced to go to Lev L'Chayim, but when you're a soldier and you return from battle, so the Chovas HaLevavos tells a story. Said, a guy is coming back from battle. On his way back, a wise man says to him, you think you won the war? The guys are really excited. They won the war. They're good. And he says to him, you think you won the war? He says, you didn't win the war. He says, the greatest war in the world is the war of the Yetzer Hara. What you just fought now, that was a minor skirmish. There's a real war that's waging. And that's the war against the Yetzer Hara, says the Chovas HaLevavos. So, Rav Asher Weiss asked the following question. Why is the war against the Yetzer Hara worse than an actual war? Okay, we know what real war is. Okay, we know what a conflict is. But the difference between the war of the Yetzer Hara and the war is that wars generally end. Maybe except for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Wars end. I'm not making no predictions. I'm no wise man. But people need to get to Uman soon. So I'm not sure if the war in Ukraine is going to end. Or is it, right? But the truth is, at some point, that war will end, officially end. Wars end. They may take years. It may be a Vietnam. But wars end. However, the Yetzer Hara is not the same. And this is the biggest mistake that we make, is that we don't realize that the war against the Yetzer Hara is something that continues and continues. We think we beat it, because we made some smart decision and we didn't go to that party. But then we wake up the next morning and all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara makes us regret it. And the Yetzer Hara leaves a voice note from Trixie. He's like, hey, I'm so sorry I didn't see you yesterday at the party. Maybe you want to get together tonight. Boom, Yetzer Hara war is back. Chazal tell us, in Pirkei Avos, of course, one of the most beautiful svarim that we have, don't rely on yourself. Ad yom moscha. Don't believe in yourself. What does that mean? It's disgusting to say that. How can we say that? It's very pasha what it's saying. It's saying a person could totally slip up being the oldest person. I have no Yetzer Hara. No. And this is seen, for example, Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, served for 80 years in the Beis HaMikdash as a great Kohen Gadol. He was corrupted. He became a heretic, a Siddiqui, after all those years. Unfortunately, we all learn that nobody's immune to the Yetzer Hara and temptations. Anybody who ever says the comment of, you know, oh, I don't have a Yetzer Hara for that, right? Especially things that are common. Like, oh, girls, I'm a Rebbe, and I never think about my wife in America. I never do that. No. The Yetzer Hara. The Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Zois HaTorah Adam Kiyamos Ba'ohel. So Chazal take this Pasuk and say that a person has to study Torah until the moment that he dies, Gemara and Shabbos. Torah is a weapon, the weapon against defeating the Yetzer Hara. By always toiling in Torah until our last moment on earth, we can break the grip of the Yetzer Hara. And it's true. Gemara tells us this. If a person's about to sin and he learns Gemara, it's very difficult to sin. If a person's watching something on YouTube that maybe he shouldn't be watching, or worse than YouTube, and he switches to a Torah video, it's hard to go back to that. I often advise students that before they go to sleep, no matter what time it is, they take out a sefer that they're going to, Emir Tzashem, one day complete. Any sefer you want, maybe Chovas HaLevavos. It's very hard after spending 5 minutes learning Chovas HaLevavos to then go to sleep and decide to do things that are inappropriate. It's hard. That's toiling in Torah does. It's very important because it sets a person apart. And that makes sense that in Chodesh Elul, of course, one of the big changes besides the blowing of the shofar is we say L'davit two times a day. And one of the lines in L'davit is Im takum alai milchama b'zois ani boteach. There's a war that's rising against us. It's called the Yetzer Hara. This is the war of the Yetzer Hara. This is b'zois, the Medrash says. This is the war. B'zois, the Yetzer Hara. It's fighting us. The problem is, it's cute to say everything I'm saying, but I need results. So how do I fight it, Rav Hartzain? What do I do? And especially in your case, where many of you have literally think you've killed a Yetzer Hara of not caring about anything that has to do with religion, of not waking up in the mornings, of not caring about mincha, right? I'm shocked sometimes. This is true, unfortunately. I've had chavrusas before with guys right before mincha. And then mincha starts, and I'm, where'd the guy go? He goes, oh, I don't go to mincha. I go, why do you have a chavrusa with me? He's like, I don't know. But mincha, I don't do mincha. So we need to consider that I can't be naive and think, oh, just because I'm called Shir Bet now, that everything now changed, and I'm going to be learning all the time, and I'm never going to have a challenge. No. It's not true. It's a battle. There's an enemy. We have to defeat it. The Gemara says, also in Shabbos, that based on the Pasuk, I should say, the Pasuk says that the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to kill him. There's a Yetzer Hara out there. It's hard for us to understand what it means and compare it to us in the Ribbono Shalom. So how do we do this? So let's talk. Two suggestions. We said that our parsha tells us that there's a war. So we have to go out and fight the war. And we have to realize that the struggle against the Yetzer Hara will never end. Somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, who is an alcoholic, who's a gambler, and he goes to Gamblers Anonymous, he goes to Alcohol Anonymous, drug, they will tell you that that never ends. The Yetzer Hara, I have a friend, unfortunately, who has a gambling problem, and he had a business trip to Las Vegas, and he went, and he had a sponsor, and the sponsor told him, you're going to see what happens, because obviously, as you know, casinos are made in such a way that it's very difficult not to gamble, especially when to get to the front desk, you have to go through the casino. It's a Yetzer Hara. So how do we battle it? So we are told that one of the greatest ways to fight the Yetzer Hara, Rav Levi ben Chama says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, a person must arouse the Yetzer HaTov against the Yetzer Hara. Tremble and not sin, says the Pasuk. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us this. If he defeats it, good. And if he does not, you have to reflect on your heart. Did I not do enough Torah mitzvahs? So many people fall back into this difficulty with the Yetzer Hara in all forms. How can they lose the battle? I just said to you, you have to do good over bad. So what if I say, Rebbe, I am doing good over bad. Most of my life is good. So why does it keep happening to me? Why do I fall in the same place where I am? It's a Saturday night and I can't fall asleep because I slept all Shabbos, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm sick and tired of watching Netflix. So I take out my phone and I watch some other things. I promised myself I shouldn't shut a bet. I'm not going to go out on Thursday nights anymore. I'm not going to do what I used to do. And I find myself in the same place. How can it be? Rashi generally is our pshat. He gives pshat on psukim. Says Rashi, the pshat person on pasuk. The most straightforward interpretation of the Gemara says, arouse your Yetzer HaTov is the war against the Yetzer Hara. You have to realize that it doesn't end. That's the only way. That's the problem that we have. We think, oh, I won. Shkoyach, now I can move on. It's going to come back maybe an hour later. Maybe a minute later. We all have this challenge. We sit in a base mattress and we want to learn, and we have this stupid device. Which unfortunately your yeshiva doesn't think it's important to tell people, you can't have that device. That device should go away in a safe every morning until 1 o'clock. Maybe later, but I'll be normal with you. What do you need this for now? What do you need this for? To record things, yes. But that's exactly the problem. Because it comes back to us. And we justify our Yetzer Haras. We see a guy walking to the base medrash. We haven't seen him in a long time. He walks in. Hey! Yeah! And all of a sudden, now 30 minutes are done with learning. Because you had to right now say, I remember in YU, Rav Yitzhak Cohen used to give his Sichas Musar every few weeks. And I remember it was very startling what he said. He says, your friend, somebody walks into the base medrash, you just got engaged. You're not going to go up there and hug him. And says, why can't you wait till after tomorrow? You have to do it at this moment? It's 15 minutes of your Seder. We don't think like that. Second suggestion. Anybody who's proficient in strategies of war. War, it cannot be won just pitting a regiment against a regiment. There needs to be head-on combat. It's not enough just to say, okay, we're going to fight. What do we do if you're smart? The Israeli army, one of the smartest armies in the world, they strike behind enemy lines. They go to the power in Nebuch, Syria, Iran. They go to the nuclear reactors, Gaza. Right? They go to where the missiles are being fired. They go to the heads. They go to the bosses. And they kill them. That's the Yetzer Hara of the war against the Yetzer Hara, says Rav Asher Weiss. It's not enough to be head-on battle. Here comes the Yetzirah. I'm going to fight it. No, you have to start from before. What's the source of the power? It's me. It's my midos toivos that will overcome a Yetzirah. Sometimes we have selfish desires. As the Vilna Gaon says, the Gra says, that the Yetzirah feeds on our desires. Because a person sins ben adam l'chaveru generally because of something that he has inside of him that he lacks. He's selfish. I will embarrass you because I'm selfish and I just want you to like me and laugh at my jokes. So I'll take one person to hate me and make fun of him so that you all will laugh and say, oh, Rav Hartstein, he's amazing, Rav Jake. You should have him come back. He's great. And it makes me feel good. I go home and tell my wife, everybody laughed in my shiur. And I got one guy who wants to kill me because I said terrible things about him. We know that Pirkei Avos tells us jealousy, pride, selfishness, desires expel a person from the world. It's a character flaw. The person has to have an ayin tov, ruach nechama, nefesh shvela. He can't be a jealous person. He can't have all the pride in the world. And he can't have selfish desires. We are the students of Avram Avinu. And that's how a person can vanquish the Yetzirah. As the Gemara tells us, the Talmud of Yerushalmi says, nothing is as beloved to Hashem as one who distances himself from distractions of the world and loves Hashem, as Avram did and defeated the Yetzirah. Avram is considered to be one of the greatest champions of killing the Yetzirah. His father owned the largest idols Aras store in all of the world. How do you live in a house and be able to do that and to accomplish it? That's essentially who we are and what we should be. I think that the problem in our generation is that we don't like to think about these things. Tomorrow, when I get onto the plane, so I always find that the plane is the most amazing place to actually do something that I normally never do. It's called think. Because we don't have time anymore. Because I sit down to relax, you know, and I put TikTok on. Oh, let me watch this really important. Oh, Instagram. Oh, this is really important. Or, you know, people as old as me go onto Facebook and you know, see all my old girlfriends and what they look like. Oh, that's very interesting. Oh, and my wife's like, what are you reading? No, nothing. It's in a very interesting article here on Arut Sheva. We don't give ourselves time to think. We don't plan. You can't be successful in Shir Bet or even Shir Aleph if you don't plan. How will I be successful? Nobody knows yourself better than you. Chodesh Elul is Dafka, of course, when the year starts for you. Because it's a great time for you to say, okay, how am I... Let's not be stupid here. Let's be honest with ourselves. The same challenges you had a year ago today is the same challenges you're going to still have. Things haven't changed. I often joke... You know, you could always tell that Shana Aleph guy who comes back from Israel, sitting in the base of Medrash, he's the same guy. Stop it. Oh, he's different because now he's going to tell people because he thinks he's a rough now. He's going up to people. Excuse me, you know, you're not really supposed to talk. You know, like, okay, you're so firm now. You know, and a guy who's maybe a little bit firmer, maybe went to a different yeshiva, not Leva Torah, Leva Sarah. And you know, maybe he'll come in and he'll be like, you know, we learned you don't talk to girls. It's a daraisa. It's not tzorach inyun. You may be right. It's a yetzara. I need to spend time to plan. It's exactly like Rav Ashurai says. It's war. Can you imagine everything that my son does now? Everything. He's been in the army for 18 months. Everything is in case of a war. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. There's been no war. But everything is a preparation for war, right? Why? Because you can't just say, oh, there's a war? Okay, I guess, I don't know, go into Lebanon. We've had that before, Rabbi Yisai, and people die. Literally, this is what you do. You go into the army, and all they do is, and in Mirtz Hashem, those that are going into the army, that's all you'll ever do, is prepare for maybe it should happen. That's the Yetzer. Why don't we prepare ourselves when it comes to Yetzer Hara? We do it for war. And maybe Rav Hartson, you were wrong. The Yetzer Hara didn't come. Okay, but you were prepared for it. And by the way, what happens in war? Years later, books come out where you know the commander of the Syrian army says we were about to attack Israel, but when we saw the ammunition that they have and the training that they have, we said we're going to get killed here. We're not going to do it. We know that a nation that just sits on their laurels and does nothing, they get attacked. So you don't know how the Yetzer Hara almost came and said it's not worth it. I'm going to move. I'm not going. You know, an analogy. A robber comes to Rehov Yerushalayim, one of the richest blocks, you know, in Ramat Shilon. He comes to the block, and he sees Hartstein's got a you know, fancy car parked. He goes, "This is the house I'm going to rob." Shkoyach. Then he comes up to the door, and he sees a big sign that says Moked Yagel. He sees that there's cameras, and he says, "I'm not going to waste my time with this now. The police is going to come, and forget it. The house next door has nothing. Right? I have a sign that says the house next door has no alarm." You know, like. I do a shtadlis. I need to do a shtadlis, Rabbi Yisai. It's elul. This is the perfect time for you to say, I want my shir bet to be successful. Don't sit on your laurels and say, but I did it, I'm fine. You're not fine. Know what everybody's yetzer hara is so different. And say, how do I accomplish that? Sleep is a big issue in my life. I can't get up in the mornings. What do you think, it's just going to go away? No. Obviously, the greatest preparation is actually just to go to sleep early. I mean early like 10 o'clock, but early normal people. I love those students that come to me because, you know, davening doesn't feel any. I can't feel davening, Rabbi. It doesn't mean anything to me. And the first thing I say to him is, when did you go to sleep last night? 3:30. I said, you think you'd have a normal davening? What time did you come to shul? Well, minyan starts at 8. I came at 8:17. I go, well, you're not. And then he shows me his sitter. It's all in Hebrew. He doesn't know what he's saying. Prepare ourselves. Yeah, the Yetzer Hara is going to fight you. Like that student that said to me, I'm sorry to say this, but he said to me, we were learning in the Mishnah Berurah Seder that a person has to be very careful when they're wearing tefillin. It's very, very holy. And unfortunately, we don't wear tefillin all day anymore because we can't hold our minds in purity. And he says, especially a person, when it comes to sexual things, you cannot think about that with your tefillin on. And the guy said, since I heard that, whenever I put my tefillin on, all I think about is that. Right? Don't think about it, you know, don't think about the pink elephant in the room. Don't think about the pink elephant. So your mind thinks about the pink. You're the only thing you do now. The rest of the day now, you're going to be mad at me. Right? Can't think about that? So fight it. Fight the Yetzer Hara. But you have to prepare yourselves. You're coming into Chodesh Elul. Come on now. Let me end off with a story that I tell every Elul. I'll tell it to you. Yeah, maybe you're not going to like the story. I apologize. But it's my favorite story. In the Haredi world, when your person gets married during Sheva Brachas, they actually hire somebody. It's called a Badchan. And he comes into the Sheva Brachas and he makes jokes. This is what I should be doing with my life. I can make millions. They make fun and so on and so forth. So this Badchan walks in and he starts off with the first joke. And he's like, where I'm sitting now, and in back of him is the door, and walks in the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But he doesn't see that he walks in. And they motion to him, and he doesn't know. And Rav Shlomo Zalman sits there, doesn't want to bother him. And he tells the joke anyway. And the joke goes like this. And I apologize. It's a Haredi joke, so it's not going to be funny, but okay. He says that there was a certain yeshiva in Europe, and this is the way things normally worked. The guy that gives all the money to the yeshiva comes to the Rosh Yeshiva, and he says, my daughter's ready to marry, my only daughter. And this guy's going to be taken care of like nobody's going to be taken care of ever. He says, I want the smartest boy in the yeshiva. That's all I care about. Who's the smartest boy? So he points out, oh, this boy is going to be great for your daughter. Oh, he's the... He goes, wait. Is he the smartest boy in the yeshiva? He's the second smartest boy. So he says, why don't you give me the first smartest? Because the first smartest boy is not for your daughter. He's like, why? Can I be honest with you? He's the smartest guy. Hasmada, the guy's in the base medrash like every hour of the day. He's got a really, really bad stutter. And in those days, they didn't treat him. He's not for your daughter. He's got a horrible story. He says, I don't care. In Yiddish, the word for smart person is kluger. Shlomo kluger. He says, is he kluger? He's a kluger. He says, yeah, verstehst. Yeah. He says, kluger. Great. Can you imagine the Rosh Hashiva goes up to this guy and he says, not only do I have a date for you, but I have the absolute greatest chop ever. Look at her picture on Facebook. You know, like, she's gorgeous. She's got a great midos and a lot of money. So he's so excited, he gets stressed, and he comes to the house and he knocks on the door. And the door opens, and you can imagine how nervous he is. And for 20 minutes, all he could say is, and finally he gets out, good evening. And they go out, and he has the stutter, of course. Comes home, and the rich man comes to the Rosh Hashiva in the morning. He says, what the heck is your problem? How dare you set my door up with this guy? What is wrong with you? He has a horrible stutter. He can't get words out. Do we not have a conversation about this? Like, he said, but you told me he was a cougar. You told me he was the smartest guy in the yeshiva. It's like, yeah. If he was the smartest guy in the yeshiva, let me ask you a question. Why didn't he, 20 minutes before he knocked on the door, started going, and then knock on the door and say, good evening. And everybody laughs like you did, and all of a sudden, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he's embarrassed. Rav Shlomo Zalman stands up, and he starts crying. He says, what a Musar Haskil. What a Musar Haskil. He says, we're at the beginning of Chodesh Elul. And that's what the Rabbanu Shlom says to us. Rabboisai, prepare yourself now. Do the stuttering now. Don't come to Rosh Hashanah and say, I'm here. What have you done for 30 days? Nothing. You want to battle the Yetzirah? Tetei Melchama Le'Oivecha? What have you done? Have you tried? Have you said, Hashem, here's the real things that I've done. Not huge things. I hate those people that think that Rosh Hashanah is New Year's. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. No, you're not fat boy. Get out of here. You're not going to do it. You just spent $1,000 on the gym. The guy doesn't go once. I had a roommate like that once. 5 o'clock in the morning every single day. Every 10 minutes. And finally, after a week, I took it. I'm sorry. But I took his alarm clock out of the wall. I opened the window and threw it. Unfortunately, we were on the 8th floor. So that was really not nice of me. But little things. Hey, Rabbanu Shalom, here's how I'm preparing myself to fight the Yetzirah. Even to go to the Rabbanu Shalom. Say, Rabbanu Shalom, do you know that I go to sleep now before 1 o'clock in the morning? Just because I should have good davening with you. Just because when I come to your palace, I can greet you. Prepare yourselves. So we don't stutter in Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, what are you doing? Your Yetzer is as bad as it's ever been. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should give us strength to fight the Yetzer Hara and to fight the ultimate Yetzer Hara of the gullus that we're in and see a Mashiach Zekein and Heru Yameinu Amen.